Well, welcome back to the XR Industry Leaders Podcast with Arbor XR. I'm your host, Brad Scoggin, CEO and one of the co-founders at Arbor, along with my co-host, Will Stackable, who's also a co-founder of Arbor and our CMO. And today we get to visit with Mary Lee Carter of Parker University. Parker University is located in Dallas, Texas, and has one of the largest chiropractic cohorts in the nation. Mary Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, before we hop in, maybe give us kind of a quick overview of the XR applications at Parker University.
Well, we have several that we're working with. One of our most recent is actually our Metaversity, our digital twin that we've developed with Victory XR. And we have access to not only our unique spaces, interior and exterior, but also we have 60 unique classrooms that, and spaces that they provide, as well as over several thousand virtual and 3D assets we can take advantage of.
That's awesome. And talk about, so your role as the immersive teaching and learning specialist, how did Parker University get into VR to begin with? And what has your role in that process been?
Well, it started before I came to Parker 4 years ago, but it all started with a tornado. And I love to tell that story because it not only illustrates how we were able to pivot, but our campus was partially destroyed in October of 2019 as a result of a really big, I think an E3, E4 tornado that came through the Dallas area during a Cowboys game, for those of you who might remember that. And it took out a lot of our classroom space. And over the course of a week, we literally had to pivot to online instruction for programs that are very hands-on, very in-person and user-focused. So, shout out to our faculty and our administration and everyone for making that happen. But as part of that, we were looking at ways to reach out to students to give them more opportunities. And one of those was through digital technology. If you fast forward to March of 2020, we all know that we had to pivot to online instruction. But fortunately, we'd already gone there and we were working with Touch of Life Technologies, which provides our digital human dissection. We had a cadaver lab on campus and still do and still use that with all our students. But we needed to have access to the resources more readily available. So for us, it became an issue of how do we fill those gaps? What can we do to provide our students with support for their learning? And digital technology, and specifically immersive virtual reality, was clearly identified as the most likely candidate. We didn't have the space to build a huge simulation lab, but we could deploy it with VR.
Yeah, we talk a lot about one of, I think, the biggest benefits of VR in learning and training and education is that accessibility. And, you know, especially when you have, Will and I are both originally from Oklahoma, so we know tornadoes well, you know. So when you have something, you know, some event that causes that, you know, to be a need. It's also interesting, the cadaver component, just because of the cost. And again, even if there wasn't, a natural disaster that limits access, you still have to go to the lab, right? And so being able to not have to go into a lab and be able to go through the same cadaver over and over again, I think is very interesting. I want to circle back just before we go much deeper. We had Steve Grubbs on the show recently, and he talked about the metaversities. But for those listening who don't really understand what that is, could you talk a little bit more about that and how that's been helpful for you?
Yes. The metaversity is actually a digital representation of our campus. And I became interested in it several years ago, actually, to have a way to engage some of our students who might not still be physically on campus in person. We started one of the things out of our experience with COVID was we started a blended hybrid cohort of chiropractic students whose first four trimesters are spent fully online. And because they come from a variety of places, they're not living locally, they're not necessarily here, we wanted them to be able to experience that campus space virtually with their other classmates. So we started looking at options, and Victory XR was, they were clearly the first ones out the door. They were at the cutting edge of working with universities and higher institutions, higher education. And so I reached out to John King at Victory XR, and we had a lot of conversations around that, what that would look like. Unfortunately, it wasn't in our budget year that year, but we continued to have those conversations. And last year, we were finally able to bring that to life. And it's been a really exciting time for us to be able to show not only to our blended students, but to prospective students as just part of our experience with reaching our students where they might be. So we can teach classes in there. We can give tours. We can do a lot of interesting and exciting things to support their learning.
I'd love to hear your perspective on how students receive that. You know, I think we think a lot about ROI, and we talk about accessibility, or we think about how, you know, people training faster, et cetera. There is a soft side to VR that I think is providing a lot of value that feels hard to measure, kind of hard to put your hands around. So what value have you seen from students, or what has the response been from students who maybe, like you said, are off campus and they get to put on a headset and feel like they're on campus? Like, maybe tell us about that.
Well, I always love the wow factor. You know, when someone walks in and they look around virtually at a space that they're physically sitting in. I recently did a demo of some of our technologies for some of our more advanced students who are in student leadership. And they were just amazed at how they were sitting in a classroom that had been duplicated virtually. And they could see one another as avatars, and they could still connect in the same way that they would have been able to in person. Students can't always come to campus for tours for whatever reason. It may be distance, it may be financial, it may be health, but they can't always come to see the campus. But they can actually take a look at it. And I feel like once they make that connection virtually, when they come physically, things will feel familiar and they'll feel a connection that they might not have felt if all they had done was watch a video.
I'm curious, just to follow up. So I know a certain number of students are doing this in headset, but am I wrong? You can also do it on a web browser, right? You can, if you're somebody who doesn't have a headset, it's still accessible that way.
Yes, Victory XR does have the option to host the Metaversity on a web browser, and you can, you know, use a laptop or any type of device like that, and walk around virtually. Walk around without using a headset. So again, it does make itself available to a wide variety of engagement.
And so you have new prospective students. That makes a lot of sense. You talked a little bit about a cohort of chiropractic students that are doing the first portion, at least virtually. Are there other applications they're using? Are they taking classes in a headset? Like, what does their experience look like, and how does VR shaped it?
Our blended cohort of students started about six trimesters ago. We're in our sixth group of blended students. And again, that was a direct result of some of the lessons that we learned coming out of COVID, is that there are ways to deliver a quality, hands-on experience to our students who might not be physically present. And so as part of that, each of our students receives, along with their school laptop, a Quest 2 headset, or in this case, we're now upgrading to the Quest 3s now that they're available. And so we've been using a variety of applications. One of them is our digital anatomy. We talked at the beginning of this about how we had reached out to Touch of Life Technologies, and we have their tables, their 80-inch touchscreens tables. We have a number of those on campus that students do use. We teach classes in these labs with those, but they now have access to it not only in person, but also on a desktop, our mobile device, and in Quest 3 headset. So we started this past summer with our cohort of making it available to them. And one of the things that we really want to do is just give them multiple ways of engaging with the anatomy, because they have to be experts at it in order to be good providers and good clinicians.
You know, it's so funny. My wife talks a lot about the anatomy class she took in college. She's a registered nurse, and how difficult it was to memorize the various muscles and bones, primarily, but with a flat textbook, you know, and you're trying to translate into your head from the 2D into the 3D. It feels like such a interesting, different experience as a student, your first day of class, to have a headset, put it on, and be able to actually walk around a 3D high fidelity model What feedback have you gotten from students? And maybe you don't, but do you have any hard stats to share on, has there been an improvement in student outcomes and test scores with even particularly with anatomy, or what's been the sort of the report back?
Well, most of our reporting back right now is anecdotal. We haven't had the opportunity to collect data because it's been so recent, and we wanted to pilot it this past summer with our students. They Touch of Life has been working with us to make this available in an untethered version so that we could deploy it more easily to students and without having, you know, a high-powered laptop, et cetera. But I can just tell you that the comments that I hear from our students are, I wish I'd had this when I took anatomy originally, or this is going to really help me when I get into the cadaver lab and I'm actually able to put hands on a cadaver. Because even those blended students still have the option once they come to campus after their fourth trimester to go back through and do physical dissection. I know that the first group of students who are coming in person who've had access to this are getting really good feedback from their faculty about how well prepared they seem. So it's purely anecdotal, but we're really encouraged by it.
Yeah. And the anecdotal stuff is not unimportant. It can be very powerful. So you don't want to, yeah. I would love to hear, you talked about what is your vision, where is it today? And what is your vision for student to headset ratio? Is the vision 1-to-1? Do you have multiple students sharing a device?
For our in-person sessions that we do, we have a VR lab. We've taken a classroom and we've essentially set it up as a VR lab. And I have 30 headsets that I manage currently on campus that are managed with Arbor XR. And so I have those 30 that are available. And I usually will set up I could set up as many as 15 at one time, and they'll come into the lab and they'll engage with whatever application it is that has been assigned to them. We're also using body swaps, and that's a great one for across our application, our programs that they can use. And so generally, I'll have about 12 to 15 at one time. So in that case, it's just more a matter of using the resources like you would any other lab. For the blended cohort, they each get their own headset. So in that case, it's a one-on-one. Those particular headsets are not managed simply because it's an easier deployment for us for them because it's their headset and they keep it. But we do have the ability to send them specific information for them to use.
Yeah, that's cool. I think, you know, there's this big question, and you've got different big companies pushing different maybe ideas around the 1-to-1 versus 1-to-many with devices. So that's an interesting model. Kind of, you've kind of mixed it. You've got, you know, partially it's a 1-to-1, and then you've also got a lab. Tell us about the anatomy use case is very cool, very powerful. Tell us about body swaps and some of the benefits you've seen there.
Well, body swaps is one that we used initially also because it was more about deploying it to different programs besides our chiropractic program. While our Doctor of Chiropractic is our largest program, it's not our only program. And we have about 34 total, all of which are healthcare and human performance related. For example, we have diagnostic and cardiac sonography. And so one of the applications that we use for body swaps, which is more communications based, it's more interaction, it's job interview. And with our diagnostic and our cardiac sonography program, we have our seniors are going through, they do a mock interview at the end of their program, their two-year program. And so they do a mock interview with their faculty. And so we're using this with their program director to kind of prepare them for that. So they can do a virtual job interview and answer questions. They get some feedback, part of which is helped and shaped by the AI component of body swaps. And it gives them positive feedback or negative feedback or just, you know, feedback in general on their eye contact, their speed of speech, their stuttering. Did they use ums and uhs and pausing? It gives them good feedback for that. We've spread that across 8 of our classes now, and it's all about communication. Everyone has to communicate with a patient. They have to communicate with each other. They have to communicate with team members, with classmates. And so it's just a good way to give them more experience with that in a way that's safe and it's non-threatening, and they can get immediate and objective feedback.
You know, I have Will to correct or to let me know when I say ums and blink too much. So, but it is helpful, right? You know, we had a great interview with Chris, I think about a year ago. And so that's, I'd recommend everyone go back and check out that episode, the Body Swaps episode. But they're doing some really cool stuff. I'd love to hear about some of the challenges that you've faced in rolling out XR at Parker.
Well, some of the challenges have been that this is clearly not designed for us. And I say us in a chiropractic sense. One of our biggest challenges in the beginning was finding vendors who were willing to create scenarios for us that were specific to chiropractic. Our interventions are slightly different. Our patients move a lot. And part of our evaluation and with the, you know, pathology is how do you move? What is your range of motion like? Where does it hurt? So we initially reached out to a number of vendors, and Simex is one that was willing to create custom scenarios for us that are specific to chiropractic interventions. It wasn't so much about a patient lying in the bed and taking medication and starting IVs. More, you know, emergency care. It was more about a patient in a clinic setting who's come in complaining of pain. Can we look at x-rays? Can we take history? Can we do range of motion? And that was a big challenge, not only for us, but also for them, because again, these are movements that are very specific. And so they've been a great partner to work with us and develop 9 cases that are specific to chiropractic. But it takes time. The assets and the resources had to be basically developed from the ground up. So that's one of the challenges. The other one is just staying up with the technology. As it has changed, as we've gone from Oculus for Business to Oculus Consumer to Meta to Untethered to now the Quest 3, you really do have to work hard to stay on top of the changes in the technology. Otherwise, you end up in a, you know, a, could be a really bad situation trying to deploy an application. And there's been an update overnight that might have changed everything, including your accessibility to Wi-Fi. So it's a little bit of a MacGyver, but I feel like it's a great community and we're all willing to share resources and to share information. And that's made it so much easier.
Yeah. One of the consistent challenges we hear from the companies we work with is just that it's around the content. And we talked maybe before we started the show, just there's so many content creators out there. And it's hard to know sometimes if they're good or not, right? And so that's one thing that we've really at Arbor tried to push into with our content directory is let's really go find those content creators that we can trust. Let's vet them to some degree. Let's find companies they've worked with. And I think that's hopefully been helpful for people. Maybe tell us, well, actually, I'm curious about your take on off the shelf versus custom content and how that plays in at Parker.
Well, for us, off the shelf was a challenge, obviously, because it's hard to take a chiropractic student and give them a nursing scenario, for example, or an emergent care scenario or EMT scenarios. So that was the biggest challenge. But once we started working with Simex, and then we said, where are our gaps? What else do we want to use this for and to help support our students? Communication was clearly one. So I think for us, having something that's a little more generic has been helpful. But what I'm really excited about is the ability to do some content authoring with the different platforms, particularly using AI. And I know that's something that Victory XR has just recently rolled out and made available to us, is to create a lesson essentially from scratch with exactly the content that you want it to have. So we're really excited about that. Anything that we can make minor changes to be more suited for our curriculum and our students and learning objectives is always exciting. And AI is, I'm just sorry, it's exciting. I don't care who you are.
I agree. And there's more and more great self-authoring tools. And we're seeing use cases both for enterprise, but also healthcare and education. I know recently we talked with Devin from VR Patients. They have a really powerful no-code VR sim builder. And, he showed us how easy it was to spin up an environment and dial things in and then add dialogue and content. And so I think that for programs, especially, you know, it can be expensive to develop content custom. Obviously, there's always going to be a certain quality level you hit if you work with a team. And we often encourage programs to do that, because there's no substitute for having a team that's dedicated to doing that. But if you're trying to be able to move quickly, do stuff more internally, if you've got students or staff that are interested in it, there are so many self-authoring tools out there, and we'll link a few in the show notes. I wanted to ask, because we're seeing this more and more at universities and even in K-12 around the world, the idea of a VR lab, which reminds me of when I was a kid, it was the computer lab because we didn't have computers. But what does it look like to build out a VR lab? And now that you're a little bit down the road, what have you learned? What are some of the challenges and how have you overcome them?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is, especially in some of these buildings, I will say that as a result of the tornado, with the building that I currently have my VR lab in was essentially taken down to the studs and rebuilt for technology that doesn't even exist at the time that we designed it. So every classroom is essentially a recording studio. Every classroom has access to resources that we can record lectures. We have great connectivity. We have BenQ projectors. So there's a lot of things that are available for us. Having said that, some of the biggest challenges are Wi-Fi, and especially in some of the older buildings, and we have some older buildings on campus, you know, Wi-Fi and connectivity can be a challenge. Getting it outside of the regular network for security reasons, working with your IT, that's obviously one of the big challenges as well. It's just, the nice thing about VR is that the space requirement is so much less than a simulation lab. You can essentially take any space as long as you've got an 8x8, a 10x10, and turn it into a VR lab. Now, what I've done is I've invested in the charging cases. We have two of them that will hold about 15 to 18 headsets each. They're charged, they're constantly connected, and I can literally roll them over to one of the other buildings on campus. So I have a space, but it's also mobile and a way that I can make it available. The more accessible it is to our faculty and our students, the more the engagement rises and the accessibility and the adaptivity.
Yeah, one of the benefits we've seen from, we have several customers who have Wi-Fi issues. And I think one of the features they benefited from Arbor is the differential updating and the ability to just update the portion of the content that needs to be updated versus updating the entire file. I would be curious, you don't have a huge deployment, but with a deployment of 30 devices, what benefits have you been able to experience with Arbor?
One of the things that I really love is to be able to just simply create a class, we do a lot of demos, we do a lot of events on campus, and we have continuing education events that we host every year in Las Vegas and Orlando. And as a result of that, we have a big tech booth, and we transfer all of that tech to those booths. And so I will set them up in kiosk mode. I've got four applications I want to be able to make sure people have access to see. So I can literally create classes. I can very specifically limit the access to the information. And it's easy for me to work with my student workers and other staff members to say, put them in a headset, turn it on. That's all you need to do, because I've created the class in Arbor and all it's going to do is pop that right up. So that's one of the features that I really, really like. I like the ability to deploy that content to a specific set of headsets. I'm in the process of migrating all of our headsets to Quest 3s. And so as I create the new classes and the new groups, it's just really simple to take everything and drop and drag it over into my Arbor group and deploy it to the headsets.
It's great to hear that. I think one thing that we talk about a lot, because we're so passionate about just the adoption of XR in general, and there still are so many pain points. And you're on the front line deploying it. You've got leadership that you've got to continue to get buy-in on VR. And so we talk a lot about just the importance of every step of the way, it's got to be a good experience. And we argue a lot that even at a small deployment, even at, 5 or 10 devices, using Arbor makes the experience just better across the board. It makes it easier. And really, it helps sell leadership on, this isn't a complicated process. With Arbor, you can put on the device and it just works, like you said. So it's great to hear that. And we're pumped. We just recently were able to launch Remote View with Quest, which is a big thing we've been asking them for a very long time, right? So I think obviously that's really important in an EDU setting. So it seems like they're coming around and being more open and willing to work with groups like us. Maybe as we kind of move to a close here, you know, you've been doing this for 4 years. You had COVID and a tornado kind of get it going to begin with. But like, where do you see this going at Parker and beyond? Like, what's the future of VR for you guys?
Well, there's no question that we're not going back. We are definitely moving forward. We are expanding our offerings to our students. We're looking to roll this out to more of our courses. I've got two faculty members that are excited about being able to actually teach in the Metaversity, hopefully this fall. And so we're working on ways to incorporate all of that into our programs across the campus. We are in the beginning of an immersive space that we're going to be building on campus. And I don't have a lot of details about it, but it's going to be really exciting part and fit of our human performance and our focus on human performance, not just athletic performance, but how do we best help our bodies to do their jobs? And so we're really excited about ways that we can incorporate our extended reality, our immersive technology into those settings. But it's definitely moving forward. We have so many students now who are excited. They're asking for it, faculty who are asking for it. And right now, really, our only limiting factor is just hours in the day and resources. So we're definitely excited about the demand.
Well, that's super encouraging for us. And we appreciate you coming on the show. We appreciate what you're doing, pushing this forward. I mean, I think we'll look back 10 years from now and there'll be Mary Lees all over the world that we say, wow, those are the people that brought this shift. And it sounds dramatic, but I love to say this. I really believe that VR is empowering a learning revolution, you know, and I think it's really exciting. If you could just get past the technology and think about the fact that people are learning faster, retaining more information, and where we open, they have access that they wouldn't have access before. It's extremely powerful. So this has been great. Is LinkedIn, if someone wants to reach out and maybe ask you questions or learn from you, is LinkedIn the best place to find you?
Yes. LinkedIn is a great resource. I'm up to date. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I love to show off the things that we're doing. So I would love to connect with anyone. There are so many groups on LinkedIn for VR education and specifically for higher education. So I connect with everyone I can because we're all working together on this.
That's great. Well, Mary Lee, thank you so much. And we look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day. And if anybody has any information, hit me up.
Thanks, Mary Lee. Talk soon.
Okay. Take care.
I always love when we get some evidence of the value of Arbor, even at a small scale. And I think Mary Lee's definitely seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, VR labs are popping up all over. I also was interested in, you know, they've got multiple different use cases for VRs. They have students that have their own headsets. I was just looking up afterwards the cost of a cadaver, between $5,000 to $10,000 for a single cadaver. Obviously, it's expensive for a school. Some schools can't even afford it. But for a remote student, you know, what's the alternative? They're, I don't know, looking at textbooks and trying to make sense of it all. So I think, yeah, it's a great story about the power of VR, what it can be used for. And then I think for us, the Metaversities, we've seen those campuses all over are starting to create the digital twins. And obviously Victory XR has been leading the charge there. But yeah, for her, it was interesting hearing that one of the most positive aspects of that is having a student who's thinking about going to university, being able to walk around and check it out and kind of get a feel of what it would be like to be a student. I think when we went to college, I don't know what the equivalent was. I guess it was just the college tour, right? You had to show up on campus and actually, you know, walk around with your real legs. But
which, by the way, for those who know the Arbor team and know Bradley, and everyone loves Bradley, this won't surprise you that Bradley.
He's not talking about himself. Different.
No, not me. Different Brad. I'm not speaking third person. Bradley's our one of our partnerships people, and he used to give the tours on college campuses. And when I heard that, it was, you know, yeah, that's Bradley. Well, as always, we appreciate you spending time with us, and make sure you check us out wherever you listen to podcasts, and we will see you next time.